Today's shiur is Masechta Erevin Daf Tzadik Hei, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, Besa Kule Amuloi Pligi. As we had learned previously, the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, when we apply the Din or Pi Tikra, because as we learned, Rav has a much broader application of Pi Tikra. He says we could have, according to Rashi's explanation, Pi Tikra on all four sides of a chatzar, and Shmuel has a much more limited application of Pi Tikra. He says we can't apply it to all four sides. Says the Gemara, Be'eser kulam lo plihi, when the achsadra, the pavilion that we just spoke about, that means we have a roof and four poles in a empty bikkah, if the openings on each side are eser, are 10 amos or less, kol amalai pligi, everybody agrees that we apply pi tikra. Ki pligi, according to this version, the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is limited, but yes, some eser, when the opening is more than 10 amos, that then Rav still applies pi tikra and Shmuel does not. So Rashi says, why when it's less than 10 amos do we apply Pi Tikra? So Rashi said, because it's a Pesach, as we've learned so many times in this Masechta, an opening that's less than 10 amos is considered a Pesach, it's considered an entranceway, and that's why it has different halachas. So Ritva asks, obvious question, fine, the opening is less than 10 amos, but as we explained, we're dealing with an opening from all four sides. So who has entranceways? Who has a place that's just entranceways? Four entranceways, four sides. So some Rishonim therefore explain that the case of our Gemara is not that we just have four sides that are completely open, just each side is only 10 amos or less. We're dealing that each side has some gefufi, has some wall, but it has a lot of breached area. So given that each side has breached area of 10 amos or less, so it's an entranceway, and even though it's poritz merubah al-oimid, we have more open than closed place, which generally would be an issue of concern. Here, because I say pi tikra yarid v'saisim, it closes it. And that's how some mefarshim explain. Other mefarshim explain like this. As we said previously, Shmuel certainly subscribes to the concept of Pi Tikra. Just Shmuel says that what is the concept of Pi Tikra? A Pesach. Pi Tikra works as an entranceway. For it to work as an entranceway, it has to be less than 10 amos. Rav, according to this version, says that Pi Tikra is not an entranceway. Pi Tikra is either good asik or it's Havdalah, as we explained in the previous year, and therefore it's not limited to 10 amos. Vikadamri, a different version of Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, b'yeser kul amaloi pligi. If it's more than 10 amos, it's no question that we don't say pi tikra. Ki pligi b'yeser, when the openings are 10 amos or less. Rav will say we say pi tikra, because as we explained a moment ago, it's a Pesach, and therefore we could say Pi Tikra. And Shmuel will say, as we also just said, that yes, it may be a Pesach, it may have the dimensions of a Pesach, because it's only 10 amos or less. However, since it's on all four sides, I can't say Pi Tikra. Says the Gemara, V'hadam Rabbi Yehuda, Kaira Dala Mata B'churva. This that Rabbi Yehuda said, that we have a rune, but in the rune we have a beam, which is shown in diagram 343 on page 115. So he says a beam works in a churva. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua Kairadal Matra Maim. We have a beam that's 4 tefachim wide. You could carry under the beam, even the beam is suspended over water, because we say Pi Tikra Yarid V'Soisim. So at least you could carry in the area under the beam. Mani says the Gemara, according to whom will this will these halachas said? Says the Gemara. L'hach lishna according to the version that we learned, Damer Be'eselei Pligi, that there's no machloikis when it's 10 amis or less, that we say Pi Tikra. So we'll explain the Be'eser, that these beams are 10 amos or less, for Dibri Hakol, and therefore the halachas could be subscribed both to Rav or Shmuel. Lahachlish, according to the version, the Amit Be'eser Pligi, that they argue even by 10 tfachim or less, by 10 amos or less, I'm sorry, and that Shmuel, when it's completely exposed, still does not say Pi Tikra. Karav will have to say that these halachas were said according to Lav. Says the Gemara, Lema, can we perhaps say that Abaye v'Rava, a machloikas that we encountered already between Abaye and Rava, plucked the Rav Shmuel Kamifagi, is essentially the same as the machloikas of Rav and Shmuel. Ditmar, because we previously learned, Sichech Agaba Sadra, if somebody made a sukkah on top of this pavilion, Sheyesh Le Pitzimim, which we see in diagram 329 on page 110. So we have here two walls, and then on the other side we have some protruding boards. Everybody agrees that this is a kosher sukkah. Why is it a kosher sukkah? Because we have two walls, and another wall has a tefach, and the halach is a kosher sukkah is two walls and a tefach. But let's say it doesn't have these protruding boards, which is somewhat shown in diagram 330, or looking at diagram 320, let's say I only had the two side walls with none of the boards. Abaye Mekshera, Abaye says that that's still a kosher sukkah. Rava Mepsul, and Rava says it's not a kosher sukkah. Abaye Mekshera, Abaye says it's a kosher sukkah, because Amar Pi Tikra Yerev Esosim. We say that the walls, the roof comes down, it's completely enclosed. Rava Mapsula, Rava says it's not a kosher sukkah, because Lo Yama Pi Tikra Yerev Esosim, we don't say Pi Tikra. So, says the Gemara, Lema, should we say that Abaye Karav, that Abaye holds like Rav, and subscribes to the concept of Pi Tikra Yerev Esosim, Rava, who doesn't want to say Pi Tikra, Kishmul, will hold like Shmuel, that we don't say Pi Tikra Yerev Esosim. Now, of course, the Mefarshim point out, the Sfasemis points out, that as we've been saying, Rav and Shmuel disagree on how many walls you need to have to be able to say Pi Tikra. Because as we've said, Shmuel certainly subscribes to Pi Tikra. It's only that he has a more limited application. So the Mefarshim point out that for Sukkah, which we just finished saying, three walls are enough to be considered a kosher Sukkah. You'll need to have less walls standing, even according to Shmuel, to say Pi Tikra Yerev Esosim. Says the Gemara, leave the Shmuel Kalam Le Pligi. According to Shmuel, who doesn't apply Pi Tikra unless you have some walls, certainly here, Abaye, who does say that we can rely on Pi Tikra, will not be able to go according to Shmuel. Ki Pligi, leave the Rav. The question is according to Rav. Abaye certainly holds like Rav. The Rava. And Rava says, At Kanli Kam Rav Sosam, you know when Rav said that we could apply Pi Tikra by the case of the Chsadi Rebika, the Hani Mechitz Lachsadi Revide, the partitions, the beams that we're wishing to rely on, were made on behalf of the pavilion. Aval Hocha, but in the case of the Sukkah that we're describing, the Hani Mechitz Lav Lachsukkah Vidi, these walls are not made for the Sukkah. They're just trying to make something which is an existing wall into sukkah loy. Even Rav will agree that it's not, we can't say Pi Tikra. Unlike the Mefarshim explained, this is really Pshat and Rashi, that we know that the halacha is that the walls made for a sukkah do not have to be specifically erected l'shem sukkah. That means if somebody has four walls, if somebody has his kitchen where he could dinette, where he can remove the roof and just put on tzchach, certainly it's a kosher sukkah, even though the walls of that room were not made l'shem sukkah. But the point is you have real walls. When you have real walls, you don't need to have that they were constructed l'shem sukkah. However, here we don't have real walls. We're relying on Pi Tikra. Here, if you want to rely on Pi Tikra, when you don't have real walls, you can't. Says, and considered a kosher sukkah. Rav Yosi, so we saw in the Mishnah, imitarim, Rav Yosi said, if it's mutter, again, we discussed in the Mishnah the situation where the Erev got disqualified on Shabbos, the war broke down, one of the other situations that were mentioned in the Mishnah. And the question was, do we say that at least for that Shabbos it should remain valid? Do we say that even for that Shabbos it's no longer valid? So the language Reb Yossi employed in the Mishnah was, "In mitarim loisa Shabbos, mitarim loisa lavoi." If it's good for the Shabbos, it's good for future Shabbos. V'masurim loisa lavoi, asur loisa Shabbos. If they're not good for future Shabbos, it's not good for the Shabbos either. Now, when you learn Reb Yossi's language in the Mishnah, it's somewhat ambiguous. What does Reb Yossi mean? Is Reb Yossi saying that, you know what, it's not only going to be mutter this Shabbos, it's even going to be mutter in future Shabbos days? So Rabbi Yossi is saying a very big kula. Or is Rabbi Yossi saying it's also a future Shabbos days, and since it's also a future Shabbos days, it's also going to be also in the Shabbos? Ibrahimu, Rabbi Yossi la'esor la'heter. Is Rabbi Yossi saying chumrah that will be also this Shabbos, like it will be also in future Shabbos days? Or is he saying a hatter that will be mutter in future Shabbos days, and will be mutter in this Shabbos, and it will also be mutter in future Shabbos days? Rav Sheshes taught us l'eser. Rav Yossi is coming to tell us a chumrah that's also in future Shabbos days, and it's also also in this Shabbos. V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan l'eser. Tanya nami hachi, and so too we learned in the Braisa. Amar Rav Yossi, k'shem shesurim l'asad lavoi. Just like they're also for future Shabbos days, kach asurim lois Shabbos, it's also for the Shabbos. Itma. And the Gemara says, Rav Chiba Yosef Omar, halacha k'Rav Yossi. The halacha is like Rav Yossi. V'shmul Omar, and Shmuel says, that halacha is k'Rav Yehuda, that since it became mutter for the beginning of the Shabbos, remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Shmuel Hachi, did really Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? For Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Meh Dvarim Amurim. When do we say that one person can't make an Erev for another person? That's Erev Tchumim. Because as we learned, making Erev Tchumim is not a clear benefit. Because whatever you gain in the direction you made the Erev Tchumim, you lose in the other direction. So since it's not a benefit for the person that you made the Erev Tchumim for, it isn't effective without his consent. Avol be Ruvich Hatzairus, regarding a Ruvich Hatzairus, since it's a clear benefit, that loch is Marvin Laod Main Ladas Ben Shloi Ladas. We can make an Ruvich Hatzairus for a person, both with his consent and without his consent. If he's a Sachalon of Shlomo Fanov, we can benefit for a person even without his consent. Vein Chom Shlomo Fanov, but we can't make something which is harmful for him without his consent. Vom Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, Halach Krab Yehuda, that the Halach is a Krab Yehuda, for Layoid, and not only there, a Kal Makam Shishon Rabbi Yehuda Bim Erevin, wherever we have Rabbi Yehuda teaching us a Halacha. In Mesech the Erevin, Halacha Kamaisai, we pass in that way. Vom Le Rav Chana Bag, the Tal Rabbi Yehuda, Om Shmul, did Shmul say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, afilu b'mavu shenotel k'roisav alachayav, which we learned Rabbi Yehuda said that if a mavu had that, in order to be able to carry the mavu, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, a lechi or a kaira have to be erected, and if the mavu had a lechi or a kaira at the beginning of Shabbos and then it was removed, Rabbi Yehuda says, since it was mutter to carry in that mavi at the beginning of Shabbos, you may continue carrying in that mavi for the rest of Shabbos. So Vamalei, and Rabbi Yehuda answered him, Be'evir Matilach. I only said that Shmuel says that the halacha is always like Rabbi Yehuda, only as far as Hilchas Ervin, for Loi B'Mechitzes, but not as far as partitions. That halacha about the halacha of Mavi of Lechia Kaira is halacha regarding a mechitza. The halacha in our Mishnah is also regarding mechitzas. So here we see that Shmuel does not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to halachas regarding partitions. Yet we had before that the Gemara says that Shmuel says Halach Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who's discussing mechitzas, that even though a mechitza was destroyed, it's still effective for the rest of Shabbos. Amar Avanan, Shavanan says, L'dim Mefarsh Leim Midah Shmuel. Shmuel explained this to me. Kach Neflitzer L'Karmas. Why did Rabbi Yehuda paskin like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, even though it's a shaila regarding mechitzos? Because the area to which it was breached is a karmus. So carrying from this area to the karmus is anyway only an issur d'rabbanan. So that's why Shmuel says, since it's only an issur d'rabbanan, and we have Rabbi Yehuda's concept of kivin shehutra hutra, that's why even though now the partition is breached, you could still rely on it if it was there at the beginning of Shabbos. However, kach nifritz al rishus rabbin, if it's open to Rishus HaRabim, we're carrying from the area where there's a breach to the Rishus HaRabim is an Issa Daraisa. There, Shmuel will not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. There, we will not say Kivan Shotra Hotra and will be also to carry. However, Tosis points out that the Halach is like Rabbi Yossi, that we don't say Kivan Shotra Hotra. And we look into Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch does not differentiate whether it's open to a Carmelist, which is an Issa d'Rabbanan, or it's open to Rishus HaRabim, which is Issa d'Raisa, we never say Kivan Shotra Hotra. However, as we have already also mentioned, when don't we subscribe to Kivan Shotra Hotra? That's only in a situation like this case, where the walls were broken down, where the Erev, the enclosure, was actually destroyed. However, in a situation where it's not that the walls were broken down, rather, let's say an Erev was made on Erev Shabbos based on a number of people living in a chotzer, and on Shabbos, and they all contributed to the Erev, and then on Shabbos new people moved in who had not contributed to the Erev, there we do paskin kivan shehutra hutra, and we continue relying on the Erev for the rest of Shabbos, even though there are new neighbors who did not contribute. Teaches us the Mishnah. Habayna Aliyah Agabish Nebatim. If somebody builds a second story over two houses that are on opposite sides of Rishus Rabin. V'chein Gishorim Hamufaloshim. And the same thing if there are a bridge which are over a road that the Halacha says the Rabbi Yehuda, Matatlan Tachtein B'Shabbos. You could carry under these, under this overpass, you could carry under this bridge, because we say good, we say P'tikra Yared Mesaisim, and it's considered totally enclosed. The Chum Oisrim, the Chum say you don't. Obviously, they don't say P'tikra in such situations. We'll explain in the Gemara why. V'aram Rabbi Yehuda also taught us Ma'avin La'avi Yamafulish. We can make a Mavi, we can make an area for an open Mavi, even though it only has two walls. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you don't have to have a third wall. If you just make a lechi or kaira at the openings, that's enough that you should be able to make an Erev, or rather set a shtufim of ours for that area. The Chum Oisrim, the Chum hold that you have to have three walls, and if you only have two walls, you can't make an Erev, you can't make a shtufim of ours. Omer Rava. So Rava says, Loi Tema, Hainu Tamad Rabbi Yehuda. Don't say that the reason for Rabbi Yehuda's psak in our Mishnah is Meshum the Kasava Beis Mechitzas Daraisa, because he holds that two walls are enough, and that's why the area under the overpass or the area under the bridge is considered a Rishus HaYachid, because it has the two walls on the side. That's not the reason. The reason for Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is Meshum the Kasava P'tikra Yared Mesaisim, because the other sides which are exposed we say P'tikra. Esrei Abaya, Sabaya asks, we learned in a Braisa, yes, okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. The first part, more of Rabbi Yehuda says. So we've had this Braisa many times. In the first part of the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda tells us the same halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to carry in Rishus HaRabim under an overpass, since the area has two walls. And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishlei shnei batim shnei tzidim rishus rabim, somebody who has two houses on the two sides of rishus rabim, the loch is oisul lach mikan v'lach mikan. He makes a lachi at the entrance at where both houses begin and end. A kar mikan and kar mikan, or make a kar on both sides, v'nois memtzen, you can carry in the middle. Amloi, the Chum told him, Eim avim rishus rabim b'kach, you can't make an erev rishus rabim this way. So we see, now here, you can't say Pitikra. There is no roof to come down. And yet, we see that he's Mekel. So must be that Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is because according to Rabbi Yehuda, two walls suffice to be considered Rosh HaSayachid. Amalei, so Rabbi said to him, Mehi in. That din is a raya that the halacha is that Rabbi Yehuda holds two walls are enough. Viha, but from the first din of our Mishnah, Lek LeMishmanei, we can't bring a raya, because it could be that the pshat in the first din of our Mishnah has nothing to do with two walls being enough, and that's to because he holds Pitikra Yarev Yisaisim. Amrav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes explains, and we're going to learn the Gemara with the second pshat in Rashi, which is the pshat that Rashi prefers. Masnis Namideka, we really could prove this point from our Mishnah. Midik Tani, what did we learn in the Mishnah? The last case of the Mishnah was, V'ayid Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'avim v'mavim v'fulish, we can make an ayir for an open mavoy, v'cham mais v'cham hold you can't. Yam Mishlam v'savay pi yitikra yar v'saisim, if you can explain that the reason is because it's pi tikra, hainu the Tani v'ayid. The pshat in the first din of the Mishnah is because of pi tikra, and then the Mishnah tells us another din, where pi tikra isn't applicable, but still Rabbi Yehuda will say that that area is considered Rosh HaYachad, because Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us a second din in the Mishnah. That besides teaching us the din of Pitikra, he also teaches us the din that two partitions, according to him, are enough to be considered a Rosh HaYachad. Eli Am Shem Dekusavish Tei Mechitzis Deraisa, if we're going to say Pshat, in the first din of our Mishnah, is because of, he holds, two walls are already considered a Rosh HaYachad, my void, why do you have to teach us another din? Why did he have to teach us the exact same din again? Shmami no, that the first din is because of Pitikra, and the second din is because of two walls according to Yehuda being enough. However, the two points. One is that the Yerushalmi points out that even according to Rabbanan, who say that when you have the bridge, the overpass, that you can't say Pitikra to turn that area into Rosh HaYachid, they say, the Yerushalmi says, if even the Rabbanan will agree that if somebody will throw from a Rosh HaRabim into that area under the overpass, he will not be mechuyev for a deraisa for carrying from Rosh HaRabim to Rosh for carrying from Rosh HaYachad to Rosh HaRabim. He says, even though that the overpass is exposed to Rosh HaRabim, and the Rabbanan consider it Rosh HaRabim, it can't be considered a full-fledged Rosh HaRabim deraisa, because since it has a roof over it, so it's not similar to the Rosh HaRabim which was in the Midbar. The Rosh HaRabim that Klai Yisrael were in the Midbar was exposed, there was no dome over it, and therefore it's not a full-fledged Rosh HaRabim Daraisa, and you will not be Mechuyiv Midaraisa, Achiyiv Skila, Achiyiv Chattis, if somebody carries from Rosh HaYachid to that area. There's a very interesting shaila as we end this perek and we end the sugya of Pitikra Yarev Yisaisim, where the issue of making an Erev around Manhattan came up. Ramchobe Weissmandel said that Manhattan, he investigated, on many of its sides had walls which enclosed it, and even on the sides which did not have walls had bridges. And if we have bridges, we should say Pitikra Yarev Yisaisim, and they should be considered as if they're enclosing the city. Ramosha disagreed for two reasons. Firstly, Ramosha said that even if you're going to say Pitikra Yarev Yisaisim, as we said in our Mishnah, the two of the sides of the overpass of the bridge have real walls. It's just the two open sides. So there, don't I say Pitikra? But the bridges that were under consideration there had no walls on any side, and therefore Pitikra wasn't applicable. Then Ramosha says another very big chiddush. Ramosha says that What does Pitikra Yared V'Soysim accomplish? He says Pitikra accomplishes that the area under the covering, which we're going to say Pitikra Yared V'Soysim, is considered enclosed. The area under the roof is considered an enclosed area for various shailas. If you could carry, let's speak about the shaila that the Gemara kept on speaking about in the last few blat, echsadir b'bika, if you have this pavilion in the open bika, the area under the covering, we say pitikra yar v'soysim, that entire area is considered enclosed, and I can carry in that entire area, even though seemingly it's open to a bika, where is a kamalist where I'm not allowed to carry more than dalet amos. Says Ramosha, that only works to enclose the area that's inside the walls, but the walls are not considered walls for outside that area. Here by the bridge that we want to use as an enclosure, yes, we'll say pitikra. Yes, we'll say that the area under the bridge is considered enclosed because pitikra, but it's not a wall for the other side. Here we need a wall not for the area under the bridge, we need a wall for the area before the bridge, that the city should be considered enclosed. Says Ramosha, Pitikra can't do that. Chaznish disagrees with Ramosha. Chaznish holds that Pitikra could work for both ways. It would be relevant for Shailim for Hilchos Sukkah. Let's say I have a wall under this pavilion that we just described, that we want to use that wall to build a sukkah on the other side of the pavilion. Could that wall be used for a sukkah? According to Ramosha, we could not. According to Chaznish, we could. There is one other reason that the Shor Mitzionim Halacha points out why we can't say Pitikra on certain bridges, because as we've learned a few times also, you can't say Pitikra on an area that is not straight. If an area is slanty or curved, we don't say Pitikra. As many bridges aren't straight, rather they go on a curve, we don't say Pitikra under such situation. Hanu l'chol gagos, hanu l'chol gagos, hanu l'chol gagos. The next perek begins with issues that are not directly related to Masechta Erevin. In fact, the first Taisus of the perek points out that this perek really belongs more in Masechta Shabbos, because the issues in this perek describe issues like tzav carrying. Taisus says that since there are certain halachas at the end of this perek that are relevant to Masechta Erevin, that's why it was brought into this perek. We know that on Shabbos we don't wear tefillin. There's a machlokes, which we will talk about in tomorrow's shir, a little in today's shir, but mainly in tomorrow's shir, if Shabbos zman tefillin or Shabbos lav zman tefillin, if Shabbos is midrash, the time when you mechuyev to wear tefillin, or Shabbos not zman you wear mechuyev to wear tefillin. Even if we hold that Shabbos zman tefillin, that in Shabbos midoraisa we're supposed to wear tefillin, we don't wear tefillin. The Chazal told us not to wear tefillin on Shabbos, either because they were concerned that if somebody's wearing tefillin, he may, if he has to go to the bathroom and he removes his tefillin before going into the bathroom, he may forget and carry it, or if the tefillin straps rip and he may take off the tefillin and carry them. Our Mishnah discusses, so nobody wears tefillin Shabbos. Our Mishnah discusses a situation where somebody is walking on Shabbos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and he finds tefillin. And the question is, what can he, what should he do? The Paiskim, of course, all say, especially this was relevant in their world where they wore tefillin all day, that if somebody forgot before Shabbos to remove his tefillin, and now it's already Shabbos and he realizes that he's wearing his tefillin, the right thing to do is just to keep, and he's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the right thing to do is to keep on walking, go home and take off your tefillin. But that's not what happened in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a situation, Hamotzi tefillin. Somebody is walking in the street where he's not allowed to carry and he found tefillin. And there's a concern that something will happen to these tefillin. According to Tosfos, the concern is that they will be abused by a dog. Tosfos says, if that's not a concern, we should leave the tefillin there. The Ritva says that nowadays where there is a concern that even though if there's no concern that it'll get abused by a dog, but there is concern that non-Jews or others who will not treat the tefillin with the proper respect will find it, it has the same din as our Mishnah. The halach is machnis and zug zug, he should bring them in by wearing one pair at a time. The Sfasem says that it's only wearing one pair at a time, but if it involves that he only found a tefillin shel roish or a tefillin shel yad, the Sfasem points out that according to the Mishnah, then you leave them there also. What about tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, that we know there are many people that besides wearing the tefillin that are written according to Rashi, they wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Will the same halacha apply to Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? The Shailos HaTshuvos Ber Yitzchak says that Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, the din of our Mishnah, does not apply to. All the Paiskim say it does apply to. Actually, the Shaila really evolves around why somebody wears Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Is it only because it's a chumrah? The person really knows that the halakha is like Rashi, and you're supposed to wear Rashi tefillin, and he's wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin only because of a chumrah, so then he can leave him. Or is pshat that the person really has a suffik if the halakha may be like Rabbeinu Tam? If that's the din, then he should treat the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, those parts can say, like the Rashi tefillin. Reb Gamliel Oimer, Gamliel says, Shnaim Shnaim. He should carry them in two by two. When was this said? The Yishanois regarding old tefillin, al b'chadoshos, new tefillin, his potter. So the way most mefarshim explain, we're going to speak about this in the Gemara, is like this: the tefillin that are under discussion here don't have the straps tied. The ritzuos are not tied, and therefore we don't know if they're really tefillin or they're just a kameya. So old tefillin, where even if the straps are untied, it's noticeable that there were once straps here tied. The knots are still noticeable, so we see that they're tefillin, and that's why you're carrying them in. However, by new tefillin, where the knots, once they're released, are not noticeable, so we don't know if this is really tefillin or is it just a kameya. That's why we leave it there. Now the Mefarshim point out that the lashon of potter is actually somewhat inaccurate. What the Mishnah should have really said is asur, that it's asur to carry them in. Just the Ritva explains, since in the beginning of the Mishnah we said machnison, you should take them in, so here we say potter, you don't have to take him in. But really, it's not just potter, it's actually us to carry him in when you don't have a heter. Matzon, if they found a tefillin, svasim, tied in pairs, or krichas, or bundles, machshechaleim, he should stay with them in the dark, or mevim, and then bring them into the city. Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ora points out, that this halacha is only said regarding hilchas carrying. But regarding a shaylef, bringing the tefillin involves carrying it past the tchum, that chazal did not give a heter for. But it's a kana. But let's say it's a time of danger, where a person can't stand outside guarding the tefillin. Machnisim, mechasen, he should cover them, for v'hoylech lo and leave. The Rishonim point out that the only thing you're allowed to use to cover the tefillin are something which is not muksa. But muksa items may not be used to cover the tefillin. Rav Shimon says, "Nois l'chaveroi, v'chavero l'chaveroi." He should give it to his friend, and his friend to another friend. Everybody should keep on walking. That, according to Rav Shimon, instead of just covering the tefillin, he should actually carry them. The Gemara will ask, isn't that, if it's a corner, how is this permissible? Ach Magil Chatzah Chitzona, until he gets to the last Chatzah of the city, the first safe place that he encounters, and that's where he leaves it. Now the Goyim Yaakov asks, when the person gets to the first Chatzah, won't he be carrying from Rishus HaRabim, where he's been till now, to a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that chotzer. And it's a deraisa. So how could he do it? So the Gaon Yaakov refers us to the first Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, where we learned that to be considered Melachas Haitzah, you have to have an Akira and a Hanacha, somebody doing the initial lifting up, somebody else doing the Hanacha. And what we should do here, says the Gaon Yaakov, one person should do the Akira from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and another person should get the Hanacha, should take it in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore we won't have a Daraisa. Continues the Mishnah, if a child was born in the field, and obviously we're not dealing with a sakana, where there's a danger of leaving him there, because when it's a sakana, we know that we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but they want to bring the child into the city. Again, nois l'chaveroi, chaveroi l'chaveroi, keep on transferring the child, afil meya, even if it involves giving it to 100 people. The Rabbi Huda says, nois adam chavos l'chaveroi, a person could give a barrel to his friend, l'chaveroi l'chaveroi, and it's chaver to his chaver, one friend to the next. Rabbi Huda is taking Rabbi Shimon's position even further, and he's not only using it for tefillin, and he's not only using it for the child born outdoors, he's using it even for barrel. But there's a machloikas rishayim how far Rabbi Yehuda is taking this kula. Is Rabbi Yehuda using this kula under all circumstances? That means according to Rabbi Yehuda, passing something from person to person, that each person carries it only less than Dalal Amis, is a full-fledged heter in Shabbos? Or, the Rabbeinu Yonason says, that Rabbi Yehuda's heter is only also for something which is a special need. The barrel is the wine that I need to make Kiddush on. But just to take something which I really don't have a need for, Rabbi Yehuda will agree we don't have a heter. And Rabbi Yehuda continues saying, I feel a chutzot chum. That he can, you don't have to worry about tchum. You can keep on carrying this way, even if it means carrying it past the tchum. Amaloi, and they told him, loy tahal of zu, the barrel may not go yosim ragla balel. As we learned when we learned the halacha of tchumim, that the halacha is you can item that I own has the same tchum as I do, and therefore it's limited to that tchum. So the Mishnah began that according to the Tanakama, zug echad in, only one pair of tefillin may be worn, tfeiloi, but not more. Says the Gemara, Laima tanan stam like Rameya. Isn't our mission not going to be like Rameya? Which is a difficulty, the Rishonim point out. Because we know, stam Mishnah, when we have an anonymous first Tana in our Mishnah, it's usually Rameya. Dik Rameya, because how could we say that our Mishnah is going to Rameya? Haimer, Rameya taught us in Masechta Shabbos that if a fire, Chas v'Shalom, broke out on Shabbos, the halacha is, Loivish komach shi'aloch alubash. The person puts on whatever he could put on. Ba'aitiv komach shi'aloch alitav. And he wraps himself in all clothing they can wrap himself. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, on Dach Kuf Chof, Ulasham, to the Chatzar, near the house where there's a fire, Mighty Kol Klei Tashmishoi, he could take out everything he needs to use on Shabbos, V'loivish Kamach Shiyach Leboish, V'aitav Kamach Shiyach Letoiv. So you see that you can wrap yourself with more than that. V'histam, ask the Gemara, V'histam and Maidra Meihi, who told us that Stam Mishnah is going contra Meia? Says the Gemara, the Tani law, because there's a brisa following up that Mishnah, it says, Loivish Umaitzi Yapayshit, he could put on various clothing, take them out, remove them, the Loivish Umaitzi Yapayshit, and then go again. Feel Kol Yom Kul the whole day, Div Rameya. So Sid Rameya is the one that holds, you could wear as much as you can. So why in our Mishnah is Rameya limiting him to just one pair of tefillin? Now Ritva asks, very fundamental question. He says, if you learn the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, you'll see that the Mishnah that Rameya allows him to wear what he needs to wear, it only allows him to carry it out to a chatzar. So, but our Mishnah, as we explain, is talking about carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So there's a fundamental difference. In our Mishnah, where you're carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, perhaps there, Rameya says, you're only allowed to wear one pair of tefillin. But a Masechta Shabbos, where it's only involved in carrying to a chatzar, maybe a lot of way more. So Ritva answers that the basis of the heter Masechta Shabbos is that wearing Levisha is not a problem. So if Levisha is not a problem, so, and Levisha, Rameya says, is as much as you can wear, so then in our Mishnah, if the heter is also Levisha, so you should be allowed to wear more than one pair of tefillin. Rameya, Rava says, the two anonymous Mishnais can still be going according to Rameya. A field time Rameya. You could say that our Mishnah goes according to Rameya. Hasam, derech, the Chum over there said that you could go like you go dressed during the week. For Hocho, Derech Mabushik Chol Shavu Rabbanon. And here too is the same. Hosom, the Bechol Kam the Boy Lovish. During the weekday, sometimes a person puts on as much clothing as he wants. He's cold, he puts on a lot of clothing. Chazal Aladim, in the case of there's a fire, Chas V'Sholem, that he could also put on as much as he wants. Hocha, however, by Shabbat, by tefillin, the bechol nami zug echad in tefiloi, a person only wears one pair of tefillin at a time during the week. When yitzav tzol nami zug echad in tefiloi, but tzol also let him wear one pair of tefillin. So Rashi explains that at this point the Gemara holds that Rameya holds that Shabbos is mat tefillin. The Shabbos you wear tefillin midoraisa. So I don't need really a special dispensation to wear tefillin. Why don't I really need a special dispensation to wear tefillin? Because Shabbos is not tefillin. So I'm just relying on din d'oraisa. But a din d'oraisa, how many pairs of tefillin does a person wear? A person wears one pair of tefillin. That's why on Shabbos he should also hold, also wear one pair of tefillin. The Rashba disagrees with Rashi's approach. And he holds that Rameya could possibly hold that Shabbos loves mat tefillin. Just what? Why don't I let you wear more than one pair of tefillin? Because the heter on Shabbos is based on what normal usage is. And normal usage by tefillin is only one pair of tefillin at a time. The Mishnah continued, you can wear two pairs of tefillin. Microsoft, so let's try to understand Rabbi Gamliel's position. If he holds that he's supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, and that because it's a regular levush, so then you should only be allowed to wear one pair of tefillin, not more. And like Rashi says, if you would be wearing more, it would possibly be transgressed by Taisif, that you're not allowed to wear more than one, you're not allowed to do more than what the Torah prescribes. The Torah says you're only allowed to wear one pair of tefillin. Even Vikas sav Shabbos lavs mantfilin, and if you can hold Shabbos is not mantfilin, or meshum atzol derech mal b'shar le'rabbanim, but it's because of atzol the chazal allowed you wear it like a malbush. I feel it feinami even more than two. And Rashi explains, it would be like a tachshit. Answers the Gemara, loyon k'shav Shabbos lavs mantfilin. Shabbos is not mantfilin. However, they only allow to wear it in the normal way of wearing a mokum tefillin. Wear tefillin normally wear on. Ask them if that's the heter. Yochi zogach nami in tefiloi. So even according to Gemara, you should only allow to be wear one pair, not more. And it says the Gemara, Amr Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, mokum yesh b'roish lanich b'shei tefillin. There is room on the head to put on two tefillin, and that's why you can wear it. Because Rashi says, since there's room for two pairs, they remain a tachshit. But Taisa says, that's called the heter of derech malbush. That wearing clothing in Shabbos is permitted, it's not considered carrying. Ask the Gemara, hanich derosh. That's okay with the hair, head. The yad ma'ikla meima. Rav Gamliel says you can even wear two tefillin shayats. Answer the Gemara, Rav Huna. Sometimes a person comes from the field with a bundle on his head, and out of respect, because he has this bundle on his head, he doesn't want to have the bundle next to his tefillin. He takes off the tefillin and he puts it on his arm. Ask the Gemara, Eimadam Rav Huna, you know when Rav Huna said this special dispensation? Because Shlo Yinig Ben Derek Bezoin, because he doesn't want to act disrespectfully against the tefillin. Roy Mi Amar, did he say that there's room on the hand for two pairs of tefillin? There's room on the head to wear for two tefillin. Hakanami, same thing. On the hand too, there's room for two pairs of tefillin. Tarned by Menashe, al yotcha. When the pasuk speaks about putting on tefillin on your hand, zukabayrus, it refers to the biceps. Ben enecha. When the Torah speaks about tefillin shorosh ben enecha, zukatkat. Fahecha, wear on the head. Amr de Bei Rabbanai, Makam Shaltinik Sharifis, the place where infant skull is soft in the middle of the head. Where on the hand it's supposed to be, according to Mishnah Berura, it should be it on the lower half of the biceps, and that's what the B'Alacha paskins. The Gra says the entire biceps are fine. Now the Gemara here says that on the head there's room for two pairs of tefillin. Tosfos points out, what does that mean, that room for two pairs of tefillin on the head? It means one behind the other. It's not talking in the width, it's talking in the depth. But there's a very interesting tshuva from the Divrei Chaim. The first tshuva in the Shalos Tshuvos, Divrei Chaim speaks about using a mirror to check if your tefillin is in the right place. And he says that a person shouldn't do it. And he says the reason is because it's anyway difficult to make a mistake, he says. Because since there's room on the head for two pairs of tefillin, so you won't really miss the right spot. So the Machzav Avraham asks on the Divrei Chaim, Tosfos just taught us that when we speak there's room on the head for two pairs of tefillin, it's in the depth, not in the width. In the width, you don't have room for two. So what's he saying? So he explains that the Divrei Chaim holds that what the Gemara says, Makim Shesh Berosh L'Nishnei Tefillin, he says it means both in the depth and in the width. There's room for two tefillin in the width, and there's room for two tefillin in the depth. But he asks, if that's Peshat according to Divrei Chaim in the Gemara, so then the Gemara could have said that there's room for four pairs of tefillin on the head. Two plus two. So he answers, you're right. According to Divrei Chaim, there are place for four tefillin in the front of the head. But the tefillin also has to be connected to the back. We have to have the kesher in the back. In the back, there is no room to have four sharim in the right place. That's why the Gemara limits it to only two pairs of tefillin on the head. There's a very interesting medrash, pliya, that we'll end with. Rabbi Kivega calls this medrash pliya. The medrash says, chayiv adam lilvoish tefillin b'shabbos. Person must wear tefillin on Shabbos. So it's very difficult. We just finished learning and we will continue learning that everybody agrees that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So why the Medrash says, Chayiv Adam Lilvosh Tefillin B'Shabbos? So Peshat is like this, Chayiv Adam Lilvosh Tefillin B'Shabbos Bei Shin B'Makam Seir. The tefillin Shorosh should be where the hair sprouts at the beginning of the hair, and B'Makam Tapuach on the muscle where the hand has the muscle. That's the right place, as we finish learning the shear, is where to put the tefillin.